Labor Day Monday. Race fans, Sirius 219, XM 201, Sports Zone 964. If you're listening to Sirius XM online and at our website, stevebeck.com. Not a gorgeous, fabulous coda, weather-wise anyway, to the summer. Summer has been obviously spectacular by every measure. And certainly this last weekend of, or first week of, I guess, of September did its part. And today they'll close out at Saratoga with the hopeful. I always loved it. Hopeful is just a great way to end the meet, right? It's end the season. You want to be hopeful. Upbeat. Talk about the spinaway, obviously. Phil Serpy will join us in this hour. So much to absorb here, and the Kentucky Downs situation, we'll check in with Hammer. The cancellation of the remaining portion of the card on Saturday, then the immediate transfer of the Sunday card to today. So the Monday activity is just, it's almost a little overwhelming because, you know, the regular early week venues are ready to roll, and Colonial, Monmouth, and last of the Colonial Monmouth Mondays. Tomorrow, Colonial with the terrific, how about the stakes that they came up with the Virginia Derby and Oaks. We might probably do well to maybe get out in front of that today. I should have thought of that a little bit better. But there was so much to absorb. And here I am, what are we, 3 minutes in, not even. I'm building up what's to come. Let's acknowledge what transpired Saturday night. And it's amazing that, and I suppose this has a lot to do with the response to Flightline's performance. We have build up so often to either individual races or, you know, highly anticipated featured races that are fixtures on the calendar. And so often the sport has tried to manufacture confrontations that never works. It almost never works. Think about it, you know. It has to be organic. The one that was the most glaring in recent memory was, what was it, Lava Man Bernardini, right? Was it, it's the heavyweight champ. Stop with that. just let things naturally, you know. Let them naturally grow and rivalries. I mean, you can't manufacture a rivalry. You have to let them develop, percolate. The anticipation, though, of an individual horse running, you know, kind of appointment performance anticipation. Well, that's a little different, and in a lot of ways, what you saw Saturday night from Flightline was, in essence, one of those races against the clock. What else could you call it? The foes were disposed of, and then it just became a question of how fast and what level of achievement or spectacle we were being treated to. And make no mistake, I mean, that was a spectacle. I mean, that it just made you know, everything that we had been kind of thinking about and discussing, it sort of, I would say, even by the turn, it became obvious that the mile and a quarter wasn't going to be an issue, and the two turns and everything else, and not needing, you know, does he need the lead? Does he have? He was seemed very comfortable, right? The first half mile for Flavien Prat, and then, you know, there's a point where a rider will, you know, will tell you, they'll know that the horse is, you know, the ears are twitching and you know, when do you want me to run? So that call came and off he went. And I mean, just literally widening with every jump. And the 126 buyer, Andy Beyer, will join us in about 15 minutes, give or take. And he will put into perspective from his evaluation what this was and what this is. But, you know, in his wake were, you know, a handful of nice stake horses, including the, you know, the Dubai World Cup winner. And, you know, some of the West Coast, you know, the nice West Coast handicap horses that were beaten 25 lengths. Yeah, what are you supposed to say about it? And in fact, I have not gone back to check, but I will right now because I am curious. I think it was 100 for let's see what we got. Yeah, here's the perspective. Country Grammar ran pretty much his race. He ran his race, and you know, last spring, you know, he had a couple of mid-aught buyers, 108 and 106. In fact, he didn't. The 108, his career in his career best performance, Country Grammar, in terms of a speed figure, 108 in the California, and he got beat Royal Ship. But the Gold Cup, he got a 106, and then in the San Diego this year, and of course Royal Ship beat him again. I mean, it might be actually that Del Mar is not his preferred surface, frankly, but he ran 100 buyer and was beaten 19 and a half lengths. Yeah, so everybody was eager, and Andy will discuss the figure. I'm sure he pored over this, every which way. You know, by the way, speaking of Royal Ship, third, beaten 26 lengths, 91 fig. So this was a spectacle, an amazing spectacle to say the least, and can't reach. We won't have John Sadler until late in the show. John's going to join us at about 8:40. I sent him a note last night. I said, John, what's a good time tomorrow? And he said, how about 9 o'clock? I said, no. I said that's a good time. I said, but that's when I'm finished. So we'll talk to John before the morning wraps up. So actually, we're kind of starting the morning with flight line discussion, and we'll finish it as well when John Sadler joins us. And actually, there was a couple other Sadler things to talk about. Nick Tamaro, probably hour three for Nick. We'll handicap and get some things from, because he couldn't join us on Monday, or today's Monday, on Friday. And I mentioned Phil Serpy. We'll talk about that in a second. The wonderful win by Leave No Trace. Phil's first grade one win since the 1993 Vosburg. Bird on the Wire with Smith. Phil's had a good meet anyway, but this just puts a big old cap on it. We'll talk to Phil Serpy, who's a terrific horseman. And of course, you know, it's funny, one of the biggest wins of Phil's career, it doesn't show up on Equibase technically, right? Because the Queen's Plate doesn't, that's a significant career accomplishment. You win a plate. So So Phil Serpy in a little bit. Johnny D. I know Rich has got TV production today, so I kind of figured that that Rich would be tied in to the last show, the last production meeting. And I also know that because I talked to Lafitte, and he's going to join us tomorrow for a postseason wrap. I also had a very funny, I don't know if you saw TV yesterday, but I had a very funny paddock exchange with Gary Stevens on Saturday, which I'll feather into. Stevens is wandering around the paddock like a World War I shell shock victim. I mean, I said, Gary, so what's going on? You all right? And he's like, I said, this is unbelievable. He said, we got 2 more days. I got to go tape this. He said it's just nonstop. But that, listen, you put that much television time, that many hours of TV. You know, there's a lot of backstory, a lot of back channeling in terms of production. So Gary said he's ready for a little freshening. He made me laugh. But Lafitte's going to join us tomorrow, and I'm sure we'll get through. You know, we really haven't, other than Andy and the visit from Lafitte, we really haven't talked and Richie every week. We haven't really had a chance to connect with the Fox show crew. So, well, maybe we'll get some other post. I had a really nice visit the previous, I guess it was previous Sunday or whenever Maggie's birthday was. Maggie came up to me in the winner's circle. She said, you had Tom on the show. I couldn't, I was in production. I haven't heard it yet. I haven't listened on the archive. And so we talked, and she said something about her birthday. I said, when's your birthday? She goes, right now, today. I said, does anybody know? She goes, the whole internet. Somehow, I we're Facebook friends and all the other stuff. I didn't see it. Yesterday was Tony Black's birthday, though. It was getting to be late in the day, and I got a Tony Black birthday greeting in. So if you're friends with Tony, you probably saw that it was his birthday. Anyway, I'm getting far afield already. Speaking of the broadcast crew, let me slip in the news yesterday that it's funny. I had heard something of a rumor to the effect that a Mr. Frank Miramonte was potentially coming to New York on a more regular basis. Well, that regular basis turns out to be Saratoga. John Imbrial, who has done a nice job these 3 years got after a long term of service, as Tom Durkin's right-hand guy and fill-in and winter stints when Tom would take breaks and so forth. And it put in, just tremendous service to the association. Got a nice stint here as the full-time NYRA track announcer. And Johnny will retire from that role at the end of the year. And, of course, he's got television production things that John, even while announcing, John was still doing his other job. He's always had two or three jobs. So that news came to find purchase yesterday and became a formal announcement. In fact, we had Pat McKenna on television, and Pat made it official. And with that news and with the fact that John is going to retire on December 31st after the New Year's Eve card at the end of the year, Chris Griffin, the ubiquitous Chris Griffin, who made his way east there was Sherman's March to the Sea, and there's there's Griffin's March to Ozone Park. Chris Griffin will call Aqueduct in Belmont for the rest of the year, and Frank Miramonte will call Saratoga. And so Frank's Frank has, and I, you know, we'll get Frank on actually today. Actually, maybe get both of them. Although Chris has got, he's got responsibilities today. They both do. What am I talking about? They both have got, they're both working today. But maybe we can get a quick hello in with Frank and with Chris. It's exciting. It's exciting for both of them. So Frank, that's a pretty heady. Let's note. Frank Miramati's ascendance to the pinnacle of the race calling profession, because being Santa Anita's race caller and Saratoga's is a pretty good. Yeah, no, Frank is couldn't. Could not happen for somebody that's you know, just widely loved. And Chris too. He's not. Chris is not as. I don't think he's as widely. Just because he's not. He hasn't. You know. He's a little. He's kind of just come into the wider view. You know, to a larger audience in the recent couple of years, but terrific. I mean, really, both just terrific. So that was the little tidbit that came flowing out yesterday, and beyond that, it's just racing action, stem to stern. Starting with Flightline and everything else that went out there. Phil D'Amato won races as we kind of anticipated. Actually had a, you know, it's funny, that was a gold, it was Gold Phoenix that won the handicap. And boy, there was a couple of strides there late. I thought, you know, Dicey Mochera, I thought we were going to get there. I had to settle for third. There's been a little too much of that this summer, frankly, you know. But got a nice little pop yesterday. We'll watch what's happening at Saratoga. I've got races 5 through 12 written up, and I didn't really worry. I wasn't worried because it didn't rain, at least in Greenwich. It did not rain overnight, as at least here, the way they were, you know, sort of suggesting. But there's still apparently more rain in the forecast. So unless there's a deluge, I don't really know why they would take the, you know, the races off per se. So hopefully we stay on and close out what's been an amazing meet. I mean, there hasn't been what? I don't think there's been 10 races taken off the turf, right? 10? There were 6, so, and then maybe there was another. Maybe there were 4 or 5 the other day. So maybe 11, something like that. All right. There's the case. There's Andy, and let's try him. Let's try him in the hotel first, actually, rather than the cell, because maybe we'll get a nice. Although I don't know about you, when was the last time you actually used a hotel a phone in a hotel room? Honestly, right? Once in a while, maybe to call the, you know, call downstairs and. You know, or call the bellman if you had the car to get the car pulled around. Even that, you don't. Even that, these days, all you have to do is text. That you know, can you bring our car around? Right? You don't even have to call the bell captain. So, back to a quick top line on the big card, the Pacific Classic card at Del Mar, Gold Phoenix. In fact, Pratt, how about Flavian Pratt? You know, he had to really work hard here at Saratoga this summer, but boy, he goes back to California, bing, bang, bang. Shakes it up. Wins with Flightline, wins with Gold Phoenix, and wins with Hong Kong Harry, who won the mile. And boy, he rode Hong Kong Harry. He rode everybody great, but all three of those winners. But Hong Kong Harry, he rode with a lot of confidence. The one that I certainly, I don't know about you, Slow Down Andy. And, I, you know, this is, I was so worried. I was so worried about, you know, horses transferring to the turf. Kind of ignored the pace scenario, right? There was a little bit of that out there. And so slow down, Andy. Nice job. Listen, Doug O'Neill just wins. He wins with all types. And he's, you know, you think about Frank Conversation, who was, of course, a quality road, but he's very good with this. He's done this consistently. This was a good spot, Del Mar Derby, for Slow Down Andy. Very smart. So maybe we'll reach out for Doug. How about yesterday, in fact, the win in Urin. Lieutenant Dan. That was Lieutenant Dan for Can't Say No. Nick Alexander. Lieutenant Dan wins the Green Flash, the Grazen, for Steve Miotti. Midnight Memories won that Torrey Pines, Baffert and Ramon Vasquez. And early on the card, Paula Capestro. It's great to see Paula Capestro win, upset that Shared Belief. Right? He was the longest shot on the board, Go Joe won. The Britannico with Jose Valdivia. So the nice job for Paula Capestro. Happy to see that. We'll get to the Saratoga action in a minute, but one of the reasons we were focusing on California and Del Mar was because of what we witnessed Saturday night. And Andy Beyer joins us. He's been in town, and part of the introduction for Andy to talk about Flightline and put that effort in perspective, we also have to just basically drop our jaw at Andy's performance with Little Andy on Saturday and Talking Horses, where Andy Beyer marches into the spa and picks 9 winners on top.
Well, it was a 13 race card.
Mr. Self-effacing. The instant, by the way, instant coffee. Very, very clever, and that was the $30 winner that was sort of a cherry on a phenomenal buyer Sunday, or Saturday in this case. Andy, well done, and then you topped it off by watching an effort by Flightline that it's historic, correct?
It certainly is. In racing, we hear horses described as great very commonly, and the adjective is greatly overused. I mean, I've seen great horses. When people describe American Pharoah as great, I say, he's very good. On Saturday, we saw a performance that word really applies to. And I guess you don't need too much imagination to appreciate what it means when a horse wins a race like that by nearly 20 lengths. But we fortunately have speed figures as a confirmation of what it really means, and Flightline got a buyer speed figure of 126, the best single performance since Ghost Zapper in 2004, and there was kind of no doubt about it. I'll just say parenthetically, when I created the figures in the early 70s, I wasn't thinking about this spectrum of the racing game. I was kind of focused on $3,000 claimers in Maryland, which were kind of the building blocks of the numbers. But over time, I started dealing with New York and California and top class horses, the figures were a real gauge of who had exceptional talent. And you know, when you look at the roster of horses who have run numbers in the 120s, that's a real benchmark for for outstanding performances. And 126 is right near the top of the scale. I should say that there, in our calculations, there was no doubt about the figure of, but my partner Mark Hopkins and Randy Moss and I all did the day independently, came up with the same conclusion. The track, except for the first race, which was somewhat slow at Del Mar, the rest of the card, it was, the track was unchanged. We had a solid track variant that, led to the 126. And then, then we look at the individual race, and, Flightline won by this big margin over Country Grammar, who'd run a 99 in his previous start. He'd been over 100 in his previous two. You know, Country Grammar's going to run, pretty respectably. The 19 and a quarter lengths are equal 26 points in our system. So if Flightline gets a 126, Country Grammar gets 100, that fits him like a glove. So no second guessing about this figure. It was it was great. And when Ghost Zapper ran the one better figure that we have published, that was, not the greatest of circumstances. It was a field of four in the Island Handicap at Monmouth on a sloppy track. So I'm not sure if that, if you can consider that the greatest of all time. The three other horses had run a 126, and they all did it in 1997, when there was a great but underappreciated group of horses who just kept, beating each other by necks and noses and running phenomenally fast, but because nobody delivered a blowout win, they never got the acclaim that they deserved. But Formal Gold, Gentleman, and Will's Way all ran a 126. Skip Away, who was part of their group, was a 125. That to me is honorable, very honorable company for Flightline to be in. And now we'll see if maybe he can take a next step, and maybe 130 is within his range. That would that would solve a lot of historical questions.
You answered the biggest part of the question. In terms of making the figure, I mean, that's always, that's always the first consideration, because the mile and a quarter and the methods, Andy, that you need to, establish. And then when you get those kinds of spreads, but I did mention at the start of the show that, seeing Country Grammar get a 100, which is right about his, that fits. So I guess it made it, fairly logical.
Yes. No, it all makes sense, and now I'm just waiting with bated breath to see what's going to happen in the Breeders' Cup, and where Flightline will get, we'll get a real test, we think, from Life It's Good's Raw Speed, I don't know how it's going to play out. Well, we can be speculating about that over the coming weeks. So, Life is Good is super fast. He's he's run very good figures every time, but nothing in the in the flight line stratosphere. But I mean, he can reel off some fast fractions. So I just think this could be a race for the ages.
Were you impressed in terms of how responsive he was, and that it seemed that he was very kind responding to Pratt, you know, and Pratt rating him a little bit early and not immediately going to the lead? I mean, it just seems like it does bode well for what lies ahead. I mean, in terms of it always seems, Andy, that we hear about horses like this, are best served needing a target, essentially.
I'm not sure. I mean, he just keeps running, when they turn him loose, and I mean, he's a tremendous machine. Randy Moss and I were having dinner with a couple of prominent people in the racing business on Saturday night, and they had been at the Metropolitan Mile at Belmont and watched him, and you know, when he crossed the wire, he just kept, I mean, you know, you talk about horses gallop out. Well, this horse, they said, galloped out the next quarter mile so strongly that somebody laughed and said, I think he just set a track record for a mile and a quarter. I mean, this horse is a running machine, and once they turn him loose, I'm not sure how much restraining anybody's going to do.
Well, you mentioned some of the names. Visually, Andy, watching him, who does he remind you of?
I don't know if that's if that's a question I can answer. I mean, I look at horses in terms of their numbers, and the horses in recent years who've earned the great figures have generally not been tearaway speed types like Flightline. Unfortunately, I don't have a number with which to compare him, by which to compare him to, say, Seattle Slough. But I mean, that's the kind of speed that Flightline seems to have, and what makes him so exciting? I mean, yes, I respect horses who can rate and who are versatile and can dole out their speed when the jockey wants. But boy, I love to see him, hit the gas right after the gate and roll off, a half and 44 and keep on going. And that's why, I mean, I just think that Flightline is, from my perspective, at least, is the most exciting kind of horse, and can't wait to see what he does under really intense early pressure in the Breeders' Cup.
Well, it sure feels like that's the equation, and I did hear plenty of conversation yesterday around the track too. People wondering, how many potential foes, consider other assignments, Andy, as well, because there were a few horses that, looked like dirt mile or classic, potential entrants. Yeah. And you wonder if he scares a few away.
Well, I think it would be, you know, I guess if I were a horse owner, I would think it be, might be prudent to duck flight line. But I think that anybody who's got a horse who is rateable and who's got a late kick can envision the scenario of a flight line life is good duel, and you know that you know could blow the race up, and you know and lead it to, you know, and enable some closer to win. So I think there are grounds for the connections of other horses to, you know, to say, you know, we'll take a shot. And besides, you know, if you're in this game and you got a good horse, you don't want to duck the Breeders' Cup Classic if you've got a worthy horse.
Andy Beyer, and that's the flight line portion of the discussion. Andy, talk about finishing up the meet well, and you know, it, everybody was so delighted. You know, first of all, with you know, just the fact that you got up here and you know, missed a couple of seasons, and it things felt normal. And then to even add further to a bit of a nostalgic feel, you know, given your you know, quote unquote retirement status. How about Steve Crist almost winning two races on the weekend? First the stake, and then he gets taken down yesterday, and that was an unnecessary DQ yesterday.
You know, I didn't get a chance to watch the rerun, so I will refrain comment. But I was certainly rooting for my old colleague.
It was great. I was delighted, obviously, for you know, for Phil Gleaves and for Steve, the stake win during the week. That was and David Dock, of course, who took over with Phil you know, pulling out, and Thin White Duke getting up in a thrilling finish in the Lucky Coin, and then Succulent yesterday. That was tough. Apparently, as I wrote earlier.
The talking horses showdown with little Andy is something I must admit I obsess about a little bit every year, because he's been my, you know, he was my protege, he's been my friend for decades, and I, you know, and I believe nobody has ever done public horse racing analysis on the level that he has, and I mean, I you know, I tune into him every day, and he, you know, the quality of his analysis is just to me stunning, that he can sustain it year round. He just never takes a pass. So you know, we sort of established a tradition based on my usual travel schedule to Saratoga of doing a head-to-head talking horses on the final Saturday of the meeting, and he's so well prepared about everything. While I'm, you know, really not focusing that much on all the nuances of New York racing like he does, so I always go into this knowing there's a great potential for public humiliation, and you know, as a result, I mean, I study, you know, this final Saturday at Saratoga card more intensely than anything of the year. I mean, I put five times the effort into it that I do on the Kentucky Derby card, you know, and, you know, I was, you know, at dawn on Thursday, I started handicapping. And one great thing about Formulator, which little Andy uses as well, is, you know, all the info you can get, you know, so much information, you know, at your fingertips if you're a, you know, a smart user of Formulator. So there's no excuse for overlooking anything. And so at least I felt I came in prepared on Saturday. I couldn't have guessed that the racing gods were going to be so kind.
Just a tremendous job. I'm curious, I included Instant Coffee, Al Gold's first out winner, in that maiden race. And, I wrote a comment, Andy, about that race. I said, people are going to gravitate to the two Bill Motts that have already started and, of course, to Croupy, the namesake runner for Todd Pletcher that clearly is a two-turn horse that made that flashy finish in his debut earlier in the meet. I said, but, there were two horses there, Instant Coffee, the one, and the two as well. Joe Sharp had that Brighter Days Are Coming. And who actually led to mid-stretch before tiring. And I checked with Joe to make sure that the horse was all right. I thought maybe he might have flipped a pallet or bled, but Joe said no, he just got tired. But here came Instant Coffee, finishing, beautifully, and Al Gold has had a fabulous summer. But what appealed to you about Instant Coffee?
Well, part of it was for races like this, I always consult Mike Welsh's workout report at the Daily Racing Form, and there was a solid workout where Instant Coffee had been kind of on even terms with another Brad Cox horse who had subsequently won with a figure of 85. Now, Welsh noted that Instant Coffee had been urged a little harder than the horse he was on even terms with, so it wasn't all glittering. But that was, that was a key factor. But it was Brad Cox. he wins everything. I see him at Oaklawn and all tracks around the country. He, any time I ignore him, where his horse steps up and wins in my face. So, and his horses always get bet. So when the board opened, and he was 11-1. And he wound up at 14-1. I told a couple friends who were watching with me. I said, "This horse is as dead on the board as any horse I've ever seen. I picked him. I can't bet him. I don't know what the story is, but he's not going to run." Well, he did, and I'm happy for the contest that he did. But I was just shocked by the tote board.
and I think that gets back to what went on with Pletcher and with Croupy and in fact, I'm just going through here. I'm curious about the chart. Here it is. I want to go back and see, Andy, what here. That was the 6th, 7th, 8th. 15-1 was insane. Croupy went off at 3-2, and Arthur's Ride, which was one of the Motts of the two Motts, went off at 7-2, and then there was Juan Valdez, the Shug McGahee, who, again, if you read Mike Welsh in the report, Juan Valdez looked like he was going to need one and might be more of a two-turn type, even though, we all know here that Shug starting horses at 7/8 is usually a bit of a hand tip. And then there was Rocket Can, who had the experience, and he went off at 6-1. So the money just gravitated elsewhere, and
little Andy was making speeches about how he hated Croupy. He thought this was the biggest sucker play on all the cards. So, that encouraged me a little. People just love that big late run. like he turned in, but he thought it would, the horse was a bit of an illusion.
Yeah, he wants he needs and wants longer. Well, I was Andy. I just couldn't just talk flight line. Had to acknowledge just a fabulous day and leading people that so look forward to your annual visit at the end of the meet. Well done, and we'll start to build toward Breeders' Cup and what could be one of the more fascinating, race dynamic matchups in recent memory.
Well, let's hope they all stay healthy and they all show up. It's really going to be something.
Exactly. I mean, that's the that's one of the equations. In fact, I started the show talking about that a little bit, Andy, about how we try, the industry tries to create scenarios for to build fan and player interest, but the best way to do that is organically. I mean, you can't create a rivalry just by talking one up. You need the horses to do it for you, and it's just nice to have a horse that people were anticipating seeing do something that even beyond their expectation.
Well, I'm sure we'll be talking at Breeders' Cup time, and good to talk to you today, Steve.
Always. Andy, thanks so much. Andy Beyer, everybody.
Bye-bye.
There you go, 126, one of the, one of the most garish figures we've seen in any time soon. It's going to be interesting later in the week. Jerry Brown, and Jerry, I think, is up. It was up this weekend. I'm just realizing I did not see Jerry around the track the whole season. Phil Serpy is going to join us here next. KC Racing, Phil. Jerry said that I saw him write something on his message board. Jerry suggested that he was going to have an exercise making his number. By that, I mean, obviously it's going to be one of the all time big numbers along the lines of Frosted, and there's a Rachel number, and there was, the Philly, which Philly was it just recently that had the monster fig? -6, -7. I mean, in the stratosphere in terms of the Thorograph scale. So we'll see if Jerry's up for his thought some point during the week. All right. The opportunity now is to visit with Phil Serpy. And yesterday, Wellsprings Charge and Phil's filly, Leave No Trace, attended the pace, and at 14-1, almost 15-1, she prevailed. She just kept going. Those that were chasing and those that prompted the pace were falling back. Wonder Wheel was kind of grinding away at a little bit one-paced. And Leave No Trace actually was expanding her lead at the wire. And Jose Lascano aboard this Outwork filly. And as I mentioned and as I tweeted, Phil Serpy's first Grade 1 win since Bird on the Wire in the Vosburgh. And Phil Serpy joins us now. Phil, congratulations.
Oh, thanks, Steve. I appreciate the call.
This is exciting. I mean, you had the maiden win against that quote unquote restricted company. Those dollar amount restrictions, and so that sort of fog and mirrors smokes up her form coming into this. But talk about the confidence level and what this filly has done since she got to you.
Well, we got her earlier in the spring, I think around April, sometime in April. And as we got towards the end of the Belmont meet, she was really touting herself and really starting to blossom. She was growing through a growth spurt, and, her works had just gotten better and better each time. And so we were really keen on her running when we ran her at Saratoga. You know, as far as the auction races, you know, it's really a good thing because let's face it, up here you've got some really really expensive bloodstock up here and some really well meant horses. That doesn't mean one's going to be faster than the other, but it gives you the opportunity to, you know, to run in a spot where, you know, where maybe things might come up a little bit easier for your horse. And, you know, in her case, you know, she ran an excellent race that day, but she pretty much just toyed with the rest of the field. And again, she was showing her talent before then. And, you know, obviously after yesterday's race, she's shown us a lot more.
Unbelievable. And I just heard, Phil, as well, from Debbie Easter and the Virginia certification program comes into play here because Leave No Trace qualified for Virginia certification, spending the 6 months before turning three in Virginia. And so there's extra bonus money coming Wellspring's way. And you know, we talked about things like that. This is a Kentucky bred. Wellspring also campaigns state breds, right?
Yes, they do. In fact, just 2 days earlier, we had a winner with from Wellspring Stable Security Code, who's a New York bred. You know, they're in the business to find some nice young horses. They don't spend a tremendous amount of money on horses, but they seek out and find quality horses. You know, 2 years ago we had Safe Conduct, who last year won the Queen's Plate, and last year we had Bank on Anna, who's had four wins this year already and is a stakes winner here at Saratoga. And then we have Security Code this year and Leave No Trace this year. So, you know, they do a good job finding these horses.
Well, and Phil, you and I talked about this, and you last year, or I guess it was at the time of the plate win, we talked about size of barns and you know the unusual course of the business, quote unquote, for horsemen, and you were eloquent and poignant about it. And you know, here you are, just very quietly in your own Phil Serpy way, just plugging away, winning with whatever comes to you. And you know, this is to me, this is yet another flare sent up there's so many people out there that can train a good horse, or there's people out there who can take a horse and turn it into a good horse. You know, the concentration of talent discussion needs to be constantly brought up.
Yeah, you know, and you know, I have mixed feelings on that. You know, I never blame anybody for wanting to send, you know, a horse to one of the very successful trainers. However, you know, I also feel that their horse could be put in a pecking order, and if, you know, you're number five or six on the list, that's when you're going to get up to bat, which may be back at Belmont or Aqueduct or who knows where. So, you know, there's a lot of good, talented guys out there. You know, we work hard with what we have. You've known over the years with our Flying the Stable being one of our clients, and you know, and then Chester Mary Broman after that. And, you know, unfortunately, you know, Mr. Liz is gone and Mr. Broman had decided to cut way back. And that leads us to Wellspring Stable and Bob Vukovich and his wife, Laura. So, you know, we do the best with what we have. And I'd certainly like to, you know, to see some people get their horses to other guys out there, you know. Jimmy Jerkins and I are like brothers, and it just kind of seems foolish to see Jimmy having 12 or 14 horses, and the guy, you know, wins Breeders' Cup races, the Travers, you know, and every other thing in between. And, you know, it'd be nice if, you know, guys like him and, you know, and maybe, you know, myself and my staff could, you know, get a few more horses, because, you know, we know what we're doing, and, you know, it's all about getting the horses.
There's no doubt. And part of it, of course, you know, is
the added wrinkle of being a I don't want to say a self-promoter, but you know, marketing. You do have to market. It's one of these elements, you know, and not everybody is a natural salesman or somebody that is going to go work a room. And you know, what's funny about this, Phil, because I had this conversation famously with T.J. Kelly years ago, and you know, Tommy had the greatest line about it, saying that you know, when you pick a trainer, you're basically buying a friend. I always love that, and you know, the idea of people coming in should be you need to understand that this is somebody that you want to be close to. You talked about, you know, those great owners that you've had during your career. The people that you want to have dinner with, and people that you're going to spend time with, and you know, who are, if you're new to the game, people that are going to, you know, kind of hold your hand and teach you the game, and you know, that's, you know, you bring up yourself and Jimmy, you know, for instance. I mean, you know, that's what you're getting. You're getting you know, someone who knows one thing in this life, and that is horses, how to train them, how to buy them, how to care for them. It's an opportunity for people to have success and have personal attention. Nobody is indicting the trainers with 200 or 300 horses, but if you want to get into this game and have fun and learn and get intimate with it, you know, find a Jimmy Jerkins, a Bruce Levine, a Phil Serpy. I mean, there's so many. My man, Siaka. I mean, there's people that are going to win races for you and that you're going to have fun with and are going to be somebody that becomes, you know, lifelong friends.
Yeah, that's true. There's a lot of really good guys out there, and we all get up and do the grind every day, and we love it. I love this. If I ever stop loving it, then I'm walking away, but that's never going to happen. And, you know, that's up to the people. I don't fault the guys, you know, with a lot of horses. But, again, I sometimes wonder what, you know, owners are thinking. So, you know, that's, you know, again, that's up to them. You know, we're here. We do a good job. We're hands-on with our horses at all times and hands-on with our owners. We like to have a good relationship with our owners because we want them, the more they know, the better things are. You know, the more that they understand the do's and don'ts and the goods and not-so-good things, you know, when it comes to the day-to-day things with racehorses. So, you know, we keep fighting a fight, and, you know, when you fortunate enough to come up with horses like the Philly, you know, Leave No Trace or Security Code or any of those horses, you know, it puts you in a good spot, and it's a feel-good spot. And, you know, and again, you prove to those people it doesn't matter if you have 200 horses. You know, we still won yesterday, and we still won 2 days ago, and we're going to still win no matter who's in the race. If we have the right horse, we're going to win.
Well, and on that topic, I mean, you mentioned the Security Code win, but of course, Bank on Anna earlier in the meet, right? So two stake wins, including a grade one, and it's just been terrific. It's been a great summer for the barn.
Yeah, and Saratoga, you know, we all take it to heart. You know, you know, it's an incredible place, but if you really look at things, it's a very small window that, you know, seven and a half weeks of racing and, you know, the weather and turf and are you going to get in and is the race going to go, and on and on and on. So, you know, it's a place that you can be rewarded greatly, like we've been this meet, and it's also a place that can kill you when you're, you know, on the duck or looking for that first win. And we've been in both spots, so we love it here. This is our favorite place, and, you know, my staff, my partner Lisa Barkowski, my, you know, my other partner, Rodrigo Ubilo, who's joined forces with us and worked for us years ago and trained for Chester Mary Broman.
Sure.
These people, like, get out there. They're great at what they do. They do it every day. No complaints. Rain or shine, they're out there, and you know, they're great people, and that's what makes it happen.
You mentioned closing, in this case, closing out the summer, and you are in the fourth today with the 35 non-2 claimer. This was a horse, Tismet, again, Wellspring, a Tisnow filly that was a $12,000 Keeneland yearling and broke the maiden mid-August at Monmouth. And Trevor McCarthy aboard here in this turf sprint. And, you know, when you look at the number, 5 wins, Phil, for you in 14 starters. And I don't even know if that actually, is that actually the current number?
Well, I think, you know, I'm definitely not bragging. I think yesterday made 6 wins, but I'm not 100%
sure right.
enough, but I'm pretty sure that's correct.
I'm going to check
now. So whatever it is, 5 or 6, you know, we're pretty happy with whatever the number might be. More than anything, you know, the horses that got to run, you know, unfortunately we had a few where races didn't fill or a race came off the turf last week for a real nice colt. We have King Angelo and, you know, so, but we look forward to running those horses down at, you know, Belmont at the Big Egg. So, you know, we time to move to the next phase.
What do you make of this fourth race? We're okay on turf, right? They haven't taken, have they taken anything off? Because I haven't gotten any texts from the.
No, it's really this rain that's been coming since like last night at 6:30, which then turned to midnight, which then turned to 4 a.m. is still somewhere else. It's not in Saratoga, so we'll just have to see. I think it all comes down to not whether they want to run on the turf or not, but a safety factor for the horses and the riders. You know, let's face it, the turf is at the end of a season with not many races taken off the turf, so it's got a little wear on it. So I think we'll just have to see what happens, you know, as far as whether the weather stays away or not. As far as our horse is concerned, she's got 2 starts sprinting on the turf, believe it or not, after all this time. And she was 4th, I think, in her debut at Saratoga as a 2-year-old. And she won her last out down at Monmouth. You know, we're reaching a little bit with her, but, you know, it wouldn't surprise us if she ran well. She's doing well, and you know, we'll hope the weather stays away and we'll be able to run her this afternoon.
What do we think about Leave No Trace going forward? Look toward the Demoiselle.
Well, you know what, we needed to see what was going to happen yesterday. I mean, you know, we were optimistic going in. We really were. She's an impressive filly. Her works have been impressive. I mean, you know, you got to remember these are 2-year-olds working at Saratoga against some great older stakes quality horses, both colts and fillies, and her works were really, really nice works, good numbers, and you know, so she was impressive. As far as moving forward, we needed to see, like a lot of other people, you know, we ran a horse with 1 start and we needed to see what was going to happen. So next thing is, you know, we'll go to the drawing board and come up with a program for her. First of all, we'll see how she comes back out of the race. She was good this morning and, you know, and how she moves forward. So ultimately, the Breeders' Cup on November 4th would be our goal. As far as what happens between yesterday and that race remains to be seen, mostly because, we just want to see how this filly is. We have to remember they're 2-year-olds. And, you know, we want them to be 3-year-olds. So, you know, we have to look out for our horses and of course, our owners. So we'll try to map out a plan over the next 7 to 10 days for her. And you know, hopefully that'll get us to November 4th in Kentucky.
I mentioned, too, Phil Serpe with us. And as we wrap up, I tweeted quickly yesterday, Phil, that the first grade one win. I mean, the plate obviously is as big a win as any North American horseman is going to have. But the last grade one, you know, you won plenty of grade threes in between. But bring everybody back for a second to Bird on the Wire and Mike Smith. Coming home there, and then you went on to the Breeders' Cup. But bring us back to the Vosburgh in 93.
You know, I remember standing there, and I was kind of, like, after the race, I was kind of shaking a little bit because it wasn't that he won. It was how he used to win those races. And Bird on the Wire, when I got him, you know, with no fault of his own, was a bit of an underachiever. And he was one of those horses where we made him think he was bigger than he actually was. And the fact of the matter is he was like 17-3 and barely fit in the starting gate. But through his mind and how we brought him into those races, you know, we just taught him how to be a bigger, better horse. And, you know, he was devastating. You know, what a lot of people don't know about him was that he was compromised with his breathing, or else he would have been able to. He was actually bred to run longer, but you know, he was somewhat compromised by his breathing, which led us back to 7 furlong races. But it was great. It was great with him. You know, unfortunately, because of his size and because of how he fit in the airplane heading out from to California from New Jersey or New York, I should say. He got a temperature when he got out there. He was obviously better before we ran him, but I think it took just a little bit out of him, and it was a shame because he was coming off of a really big year. He was just a real neat horse to be around. I used to walk him myself every afternoon. I kind of used to let him think he was getting over on me, and you know, it just gave him a lot of courage, I would say, and that's why he became a better horse.
Doesn't get much better than this. The Grade One Spinaway, Phil Serpy, the Wellspring people. Just a quick, I've seen their name forever, but I don't know much about them.
I met them through really through a good friend and old colleague, Jim Ryerson, who we both came from the Monmouth Park days.
Sure.
Jim stayed in New York, and he asked about us taking a horse for Wellspring Stable down to Florida a few winters ago, which we did. And that blossomed into this. And, you know, Jim still gets horses for them, and we get horses for them, which is great. I like Jim. And, you know, again, we wouldn't have Wellspring Stables if it wasn't for Jim Ryerson. So as far as Dr. Bob Vukovich and his wife, Laura, they are just, you know, they're like the Bromans and like the Lizzes. They're just great people to work for. You know, they know the business. They're not finger pointers. They understand how things work. And, you know, you just can't ask for more than that.
Yeah, just perfect. Just perfect. And also, Jose Lascano, we should fold into this, too. A very good ride by Jose, just kind of feeling where, you know, where what she had, and he had tremendous confidence in her. You could see it from his body language and how he handled her.
Listen, Jose knows how to ride good horses. He's been on a lot of good horses, and you know, the bottom line is, you know, I don't know exactly what it is, but we have a very good win percentage with him. You know, Irad rode this horse first time out. His agent decided they were going in another direction, which, you know, I mean, that just happens. And,
sure.
We went to our go-to guy, which is Jose Lascano. And, you know, he got the job done. That's what he does for us. You know, he's ridden a lot of horses for us, him, Luis Saez, you know, these are good guys. They ride hard, whether it's, you know, claiming races, stake races, whatever the case may be. So we're happy that he was on the horse and it worked out well for everyone.
Phil Serpy, everybody, and leave no trace. And there'll be very little trace of activity. Well, there'll still be activity around the racetrack, but not in the grandstand and clubhouse after this afternoon. Day 40, one more starter for Phil and his team, and also for Wellspring, who, by the way, I get the report back, Debbie Easter tells me, an extra $10,000 for Wellspring. Thanks to the Virginia Certification Program, and they also got $10,000 when Leave No Trace broke the maiden. So far, an extra $20,000, and basically, Phil, with the kind of budget that they operate, that might be two more horses for you.
Yeah, that's a good deal. And also yesterday, but that wasn't a win in your in race, but there was a $30,000 credit
stipend
for entry
yep.
into the Breeders' Cup. So those are good programs. They really are.
Phil Serpy, everybody. Phil, thanks so much. Just thrilled for you.
All right, well, thanks very much, and we appreciate you having us on.
Not at all. Phil Serpy, everybody. And he mentioned Lisa, and one of those consistent hands on the wheel for years and years and years. Just wins and can win at the highest level. How about a Queen's Plate and a Grade 1 spin away in the last couple of years? Let's take our first break of the morning. There'll be two of them before the summer season ends. At least at the spot, Del Mar is going to press forward. It's so weird, but there's so much happening. It's kind of a transitional week. We'll check in with Hammer in a little bit as well and see the status of things. That it is not a promising weather week in the... I guess that would be, is that officially the Tennessee Valley? I should really go back and, I don't know. I don't think that's the Tennessee Valley. No, I don't think so. We'll find out what that section's called, right? From between Bowling Green and Nashville. If there's folklorish moniker. Johnny D is next, and Johnny can opine on giving up mounts as the jock agent on Grade 1 winners, like you just heard, apparently. Not every decision involving Steve Rushing is necessarily a perfect. A rat or a tease getting off the Grade 1 winner. But Johnny's certainly going to talk about flight lock, and you'll have the benefit of several decades from Seattle SLU is the name that keeps getting that's the name that keeps getting invoked so far. That's why I asked Andy what his thoughts were. So we'll see what else Johnny will. I imagine the flight line thing. That had to get Johnny's blood pumping. What else do I have here? Yeah, I'm glad I asked Phil. The racing office had not sent anything taking a race off the turf. The first thing this morning was just that MTOs are being held with rain forecasted. And it's funny, I knew when I got up, I looked outside, it didn't rain yet. I was up at 4. Selections are up, by the way, including my annual favorite photo at the end of the meet, which is Skip Dickstein's, I call it Fly Away Home, the picture he took a few years ago of the finials on the roof, on the distinctive design of the Saratoga race course. And the geese on the move. Now, of course, the geese don't actually leave anymore, right? Have you noticed this? They wait every winter. They're longer and longer and longer. You see them, in February and stuff. You can't call them snowbirds anymore. It seems like they hang around. They think of themselves, what? I gotta fly 2,500 miles, I can just stay here. The lakes and the rivers haven't frozen. I'm going to hang around. But for aesthetic purposes, it's the greatest shot if you've never seen it. Go to my Twitter feed. I'll put it on Facebook, too. I do every year. We'll take the break here. I'm going to get another cup of coffee, just like I need one. You see me on TV yesterday, I was like an idiot. I was more so than usual, actually. I was like ridiculous yesterday with Pat McKenna. What a great meet. What a great meet we've had, right? Okay, yeah, you want to take a shot at my ticket structure this summer? Crazy. Back after this, Johnny D.
At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Thoroughbred horse racing is back in Virginia as Colonial Downs conducts its More Racing, More Money summer season presented by Woodford Reserve. An early week racing schedule, an average daily purse is of $625,000. The 9-week meet runs from July 11th through September 7th with racing every Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday at 1:45 p.m. Wager on Colonial's 50-cent pick 5 with a low 12% takeout and a new carryover provision. All races will be broadcast on TVG this summer. Colonial Downs racing Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday at 1:45 p.m.
Who are you betting on? How about an app created specifically for horse racing? Naira Bets. We specialize in thundering hooves, fist pumping, and boosting your bankroll with robust weekly promotions and offer betting tips from actual horse racing experts. Bet all day and night nationwide. Get the action and thrill of horse racing with Naira Bets. $200 deposit match with promo Steve200. Visit NairaBets.com for details.
The Pons Family's Country Life and Maryland Farms are the place for breeding and racing in the Mid-Atlantic. Country Life is nationally recognized for making stallions and currently stands the Mid-Atlantic's leading first and second crop sires, Divining Rod by Tappan and Mosler by Warfront, as well as Frisian Fire. Maryland's 5/8 mile training track completes the full service facilities from the folding barn to the racetrack. Join the excitement of racing with Country Life Farm, where our partnerships can take you from beginning to winning.
Want to get your career in horse racing off to a fast start? Well, the University of Arizona's Racetrack Industry Program is your winning ticket. The Racetrack Industry Program has served as a springboard to some of the industry's most successful individuals, with a proven track record of job placement right out of college. If you want to earn a degree in the exciting horse racing industry, the Racetrack Industry Program can put you in the winner's circle.
Visit ua-rtip.org today.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standard bred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, Leader Shield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Here in Pennsylvania, we're proud of our breeding program, the best in North America. But we're also proud to be leaders in this industry. The PA Horse Breeders Association is funding cutting-edge research at Penn Vet into equine health and safety. And we endorse the SAFE Act.